When Jesus instituted the Eucharist, Scripture says, He had always loved those who were His own in the world, but now He showed how perfect His love was by giving us the complete gift of Himself in the Eucharist. The Lord's Supper was instituted at the Passover meal to show that the Eucharist flows directly from the shedding of Christ's blood. Like the unblemished lamb slaughtered as a Passover victim with its blood sprinkled on the doorposts, Christ was slain on the cross to give us the gift of everlasting life in this holy sacrament. If anyone eats this bread, he said, he shall live forever. He gave up his body on the cross so that he may give his body to us in Holy Communion. Good Friday follows Holy Thursday, as Good Friday is the price he paid. This is why he said on Holy Thursday night, there is no greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. May his sacrifice inspire enough people in the parish to be willing to make a sacrifice for him by taking one of the night hours between midnight and 6 a.m. Scripture reminds us, Jesus spent whole nights in prayer. God cannot be outdone in generosity. Whenever we are generous with him, he is 10 times more generous with us. Whatever hour one may choose is most pleasing to the Lord. But since these difficult hours must be covered in order to have perpetual adoration, please consider for the following reasons making this sacrifice if you can. When Jesus said, "With desire I have desired to eat this Pasch with you," he was speaking to the heart of every man, but knew that not every man would respond to the gift of the Eucharist. In every age these words would come to pass. I fostered them, like one who raises an infant to his cheeks. Yet though I stooped to feed my child, they did not know that I was their healer. As the more I called them, the farther they went from me. You study the Scripture, Jesus said, believing that in them you have eternal life, and yet you refuse to come to me for life. Jesus knew the Eucharist, meant for all humanity, would not be accepted by all, and what happened at his Eucharistic discourse would be repeated in every age. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? This sort of talk is hard to endure. His disciples failed to understand he was not speaking of the flesh as we know it, but the life-giving spirit of his risen body after the resurrection. It is the spirit that gives life. The flesh has nothing to offer, he said. The words I spoke to you are spirit and life. But his disciples broke away and would not remain in his company any longer, just as the majority of men in every century would not believe in his real presence and would refuse to keep him company in Eucharistic adoration. Jesus' agony in the garden was his realization that his gift of perfect love would be appreciated by so few and rejected by so many. His heart was filled with sorrow to the point of death. Why so many refuse him love in Eucharistic adoration is explained in the statement, "Your King comes to you without display." For Jesus comes to us so humbly under the appearance of the Sacred Host that he is often ignored and treated as if he is not there. There was in him no appearance that would attract us to him. He had no form that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. Without beauty, without majesty, we saw him, and we took no account of him. The Lord's words, "They are rejecting me as their king," describes the indifference surrounding Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, where he is often left alone and abandoned by his own. He was spurned and avoided, and we held him in no esteem, a thing despised and rejected by men. And yet ours were the sufferings he bore, ours the sorrows he carried. He was pierced, crushed for our sins. Upon him was the chastisement that makes us whole. This is why the angels cry out to man, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive all glory, honor, and praise." In other words, Jesus deserves it. The Lamb is the sacrificial presence of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. He deserves unceasing adoration for all he has done for our salvation. When Scripture exclaims, "The Lamb is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings," it is a clarion call to Christ's followers that Jesus is worthy to be adored as King as the Church declares on the feast of Christ the King, "Worthy is the Lamb." For all he has done for all mankind, he deserves in every parish the perpetual adoration of his people. Where Christ is adored as King, by being honoured day and night, he begins his Eucharistic reign. This is the meaning of the passage, "The Lamb on the throne will shepherd them, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes." Christ must reign until God puts all enemies under his feet. Christ's enemy is Satan, who wants to rule the world himself, and who wants for himself the adoration that belongs to Christ alone. This is why in the desert Satan told Jesus in a perverted outburst of jealous pride, "Prostrate yourself in homage before me." Jesus replied, "You shall do homage to the Lord your God. Him alone shall you adore." When Jesus was arrested, Scripture says, it was out of jealousy that they handed him over, a jealousy incited by Satan, whose violent hatred of Christ and the adoration due to Christ as King was graphically illustrated during the Lord's Passion when they put a crown of thorns on his head, a reed in his hand, and dressed him in a robe of royal purple. Making a fool of him, they genuflected before him and pretended to do him homage in mock adoration to protest Christ is not worthy to be adored as King. When Scripture says Satan will fight against the Lamb, it means he will attack faith in the Eucharist and fight against the adoration Jesus deserves as King. According to the Gospel, explains the Pope, the devil's effort is directed to opposing the kingdom of God, as his jealous hatred of the glory due to Christ alone is the unseen force behind all opposition to the adoration of the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. Satan's anger directed against the kingship of Christ and the adoration due to Christ alone was demonstrated on the cross with a sign above the Lord's head. They put the charge against him in writing. The charge against him said, "This is Jesus the King." "We will not have this man rule over us," is what was said in a gospel parable Jesus used in foretelling his rejection. A man of noble birth went to a faraway country to become its king, but his fellow citizens despised him. "We do not want this man to be our king." When Pilate said, "Look at your king," the people replied, "We have no king. Away with him." Fittingly, darkness came over the whole land with an eclipse of the sun, as Jesus was rejected as king by being unloved and unwanted. He said he had to undergo all this so as to enter into his glory. As the cross was a picture of pain and humiliation, the monstrance is his throne, where Jesus is crowned with glory and proclaimed king by being welcomed with love through the unceasing adoration of his people. "Here I am," God says. "This is where my throne shall be. This is where I will set the soles of my feet. Here I will dwell forever." As perpetual adoration is the throne befitting his glory, only the unceasing adoration of his bride, the Church, makes him a king. His cry on the cross, "I thirst," is a thirst to be loved, heard from every tabernacle of the world. It was this that brought them before God's throne, to quench the thirst in the heart of Jesus to be loved. Day and night, in adoration without pause, they minister to him in his temple, saying, "Alleluia, the Lord is King. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory." The King is in your midst. He will renew you in his love. The Lord himself will fight for you. You have only to keep still. Just as the night vigils of prayer, requested by the Lord, brought the Israelites in Egypt out of bondage into the freedom of the Promised Land, so too those who adore at night will bring about the new day when the night shall be no more. Like in the night watch, the fiery cloud brought victory to the Israelites, those who keep the night watch will bring about the power and glory of the Lord seen in the Eucharist. Your gates shall stand open constantly. Day and night they shall not be closed, to bring beauty to my sanctuary and glory to the place where I set my feet. As the cloud covered the meeting tent and the glory of the Lord filled the dwelling, so will his glory shine through the Eucharist. A cloud is a biblical sign of the hidden, mysterious presence of God, as the cloud filled the temple of the Lord, because the Lord intends to dwell in the thick cloud. As a thick cloud hides the light of the sun, so does the sacred host now hide the glory of Jesus in the Eucharist until he comes again. When he says his coming will be in a cloud with great power and glory, he is saying that as the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud, his second coming will be when he reveals the light of his glory in the Eucharist. I saw that the temple was filled with the glory of the Lord. The Pope said, in the Eucharist is the glory of the risen body of Jesus, a glory which started at the resurrection and a glory which continues in this most blessed sacrament. As his disciples had come to know him in the breaking of the bread, so will the whole world come to know and adore him when he reveals the glory of his love in the Eucharist. As the crowds were appalled on seeing him on the cross, so disfigured did he look that he seemed no longer human, so will the whole world be astonished in seeing something never witnessed. They will see the splendor of our God, the radiant glory of the Lamb. See, he comes amid the clouds. Every eye shall see him, all the peoples of the earth. They see the Son of Man come in his kingship. Then everything in the universe cries aloud to the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb, be all praise, honor, glory and power forever and ever. The Pope says, the Church, the loving bride of the Lamb, with her gaze fixed on this day of light, raises the ardent prayer, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. To those who adored at night, to tell everyone, Jesus is worthy to be adored as King, all creation will forever sing. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the one who brings the good news, who heralds peace, brings happiness. With their sacrifice, they witnessed to the world, saying, your God is King, here is your God, the King is in your midst.